I think we're just getting started.
What is going on? And welcome to the first episode of 117 Gaming Squadron, a video game podcast. I'm pretty sure I'll be dropping a video game podcast by episode 5, because that's the reason why I listen to this, is because it's a podcast about video games and beer. Actually, I will be talking a little bit about a beer that I'm drinking. So today, on the very first episode, I am going to be talking about the OG game that started it all, Super Mario Brothers for the Nintendo Entertainment System, or the NES. And this game came out in 1985, man. Can you believe that? I can, because I was actually alive when this game came out, and that's not trying to age myself without... No. Tell me how old you are without telling me how old you are. That pretty much did it right there. So, and the beer I will be drinking tonight is Sierra Nevada's Pale Ale, and this is the OG of craft beer. It was one of the first craft beers that came out in the 80s, and at the time, people were not too excited about it because it was very bitter. People did not like their bitter beer when they actually had bite. But as time went on, this became an instant classic, and I figured, why not? OG game, OG beer. So, the Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. It's a nice golden color. Has a good smell of... I mean, the hops are there, but... How are they? It's kind of piney. But then, the sip of it... Definitely malty, but definitely got some bitter to it. Not as strong as IPAs or anything like that, but... It's definitely got flavor to it, and so... That's a good beer. That's a good classic that I can drink many of and be satisfied through the night. So let us enjoy it together. And so the reason why I picked Super Mario Brothers for my first podcast is because that was the game that actually got me into video games. And growing up in the 80s, when the Nintendo came out, it was the hottest toy that every kid wanted. And I did eventually get one at a Christmas a couple years later, but for the first couple years when it came out, I was not so lucky. So the only time I actually got the chance to play it is if we went to like a department store and they had one, a display to use, or had to go to a friend's house and they had one. And luckily I was able to play it there. And one of the games we did play was Mario Brothers. And so finally one Christmas, I received a Nintendo from my grandma, and she gave me the bundle, which came with Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt. And she gave me two other games with it, Legend of Zelda and this other game that I don't know the name of it, but I can tell you it was garbage, even though I played it a lot. But then if you only have three games, of course you're going to be playing a lot because you're a kid. You can't buy other games. So, so Mario was one of the primary games that I played a lot. And I really enjoyed it. I think I beat it a couple times if I can remember, but I could just remember popping that thing in, booting it up, and hearing that music and everything, that the nostalgia, the classic song that literally anybody hears that jingle could probably say, oh, that's Mario. Now, when Nintendo came up with the idea of Mario, I don't think they realized how big it was going to be, how popular it was going to be. And at the time, Nintendo was like, let's make a game that could be fun for everybody, but at the same time could be challenging as you progress through the game. And the whole point of the game was basically to jump over your enemies and obstacles. And before Mario got his name, he was actually going to be called Jumpman, which... Can you imagine that today? Super Jumpman or Jumpman. Just does not have a good ring to it compared to Mario. But when Nintendo came up with the idea of what we know now as a platformer, that at the time had not been thought of. And no one else really came up with the idea. So Nintendo basically came up with this idea from scratch. Basically created a blueprint for platformers. And they took Mario and put him in a game that where you literally have to start from point A and make it to point B without getting hit or falling down some pits. And you had to be smart about what you're doing. And of course, with every game, there are a cast of characters. So the main character is Mario. He has a brother, Luigi, who, you know, will be the second player. And usually you give it to your friend or your little brother or sister, whoever you didn't want, because you wanted to be first. And you said, here, you play Luigi because you suck. So they had that. Then you had Toad, Princess Toadstool, who that was her name back then, but she's now known as Princess Peach. Yeah, then let's go on to the other side, the villains. Goomba, Koopa Trooper, the motherfucking Hammer Brothers, which I... okay, so... yeah, I'll tell you later on, but God, I hated those guys in this game. They sucked. Those spiny guys that... You know what I'm talking about. They slow walk in their spines and everything. And always in your way. And then you have the Piranha Plant, which, you know, always pop its head out right when you're jumping over it. So you always die and you just get pissed and say, fuck this game. And then you go back and try it all over again. But anyway, there's one character that for the longest time I did not know its official name. And this was the guy that was in the cloud that's floating top and throwing over those little spiny bastards at you. His name is Lakitu. So now I know. And now when I see him other games, I'm like, oh, there's Lakitu. But let's also not forget Bowser, who's the main antagonist of this game. So he's the one that you're basically trying to defeat, stop, because he stole or kidnapped Princess Toadstool. Now, one thing that Nintendo did right were the level designs. And by that, I mean they actually created unique levels for the different challenges that you would have to face as being Mario or Luigi. And you had a surface, you had underground, you had underwater, and you had Bowser's castle. And sometimes at the surface it would be day, and sometimes at the surface it would be night. But each area had its own challenges, and, well, actually each level had its the same kind of villains, except for the underwater one, where you had those goddamn fishies. But anyway, so yeah, you had four different kind of designs to go through and to kind of switch it up. The castle slash Bowser's castles really sucked because they're closed corridors and you had to time it right. If not, you're going to get hit by one of those little fire bar things that spin around, and they suck because they're always in your way. And then you got the damn lava, fire, whatever it is, running around. So, anyway, those are pain in the ass. But Nintendo was able to kind of create a different background for each level to kind of switch it up. And not just kind of have the same old generic, like, here's this background for the entire game. They're able to add in new stuff to offer an experience. Now, when Nintendo was actually designing this, they wanted to make sure that this game would be fun for everybody. And so the first level, 1-1, is almost like a tutorial. It's fairly easy. You can quickly get through it. And one of the things they do show off is you get all three power-ups in that level to kind of show you, hey, these are what these power-ups do. You get the mushroom, you get the fire flower, and you get the star. And I can probably see it now, how many people die by the first Goomba as they start out, they're walking, running, and then boom, there's that first Goomba. They run right into it, or they try to jump on it and fall short or whatever and die. I know I've died a couple times with it too, but that's the point of it, to show you, like, either you can jump over that or you can jump on him. And then of course they introduced the mushroom right there, which allows you to break bricks when you're bigger, and at the same time show you that if you get hit, you shrink down to little Mario, which allows you to continue on, but until you get two hits in the game. But when you come across the fire or the flower that gives you the firepower, you're able to shoot fireballs from you, and that can clear a path or take out enemies along the way, which is great because I literally just bash that B button as I'm running and I'm just unleashing fireball after fireball. I don't care what's in my way. I'm just rocking it and just taking everything out of my path. And it's sweet. Actually, if you're able to make it to an underwater level with fire, you are pretty much unstoppable, because you can just rapid fire, just unload on those damn fishes and take your time and make it through a level without getting hit. Because man, if you did not have it, that level is 10 times harder trying to get through. All right, I just lost myself in the notes. Yep, Fusgumba, Goomba. Oh, yeah, okay, so another thing that Nintendo actually introduced in this game that became popular going forward was the fact that they hid secrets throughout the levels. And by that, I mean you had hidden power-ups, like a 1-Up mushroom, and also power-ups hidden throughout different bricks. So, like, it may look like a row of bricks, but if you hit them, maybe one of them show you a mushroom, or a flower, or hell, even a star. So it's always good to kind of explore and check out what's out there. Now, the other secret that they have was these known warp pipes that people who play this game, they know level 1-2. If you make your way to the top of the screen, by that I mean you take the elevator up, jump on top of the screen where the numbers and stats are. You keep running to the right as far as you can go, and then suddenly you'll come to an end where it'll be three warp pipes and say, which would you like to travel to? So now, that's a very popular error for speedrunners because they usually do that to barrel ahead to 8-1, and then boom, they're at the very end. I usually use those too, but then end up getting my ass kicked, so I never really find the other warp pipes, but that's another story. So that's also something that Nintendo had introduced to get replayability. Say, hey, did you find the secrets in this level? Did you use all the warp pipes? Did you actually play through the game from level 1 all the way through, or did you warp ahead? Different ways, different challenges you can do to yourself, or you and your friends can play. But back then, we didn't care about that stuff. We just wanted to play. One thing I did notice that when I was playing it recently was the fact that Nintendo was able to add in a little attention to detail. By that, I mean physics. So, when you're playing the game, at least when I play it, I'm always holding the run button so I can run and jump farther. Because if you're holding the run button, you jump, you're able to jump higher and farther. If you don't hold the run button when you're trying to jump, there are times you won't be able to clear a pit or jump over a pipe. So, I just make it a habit of holding it. Now, that's one thing that Nintendo made sure of, is if, you know, speed is a factor in running and jumping, especially jumping. It's because there's different parts of the level where you need to literally book it and try to jump across a fucking canyon to the other side. And if you time it right, you can make it. If you don't time it, nope, you miss it completely and you have to try it all over again. It sucks. It's towards the end of the game. It's probably like 7 or 8. Anyway. Another thing that I noticed that as you're running, there are times where you suddenly would have to stop because, oh my god, as a Goomba or a Koopa Trooper or one of those spines or those motherfucking Hammer Brothers, which, gotta hate those guys because when they throw their hammers, it is literally a waterfall of hammers. It is literally just nonstop, just flow of hammers. And if you do not cruise as you're running through under them, you're stuck because there's literally like a split second of opening where if you time it right, you can get under them and keep going. But if not, you're going to die unless you have a power up like a flower or a mushroom to take the hit and keep going. Or if you're lucky enough, you have a star and you can just barrel right through it. But me, usually I just try to keep running and try to run under them, keep going. But there are people I know that try to be all cocky and confident and they would take them out. So they wait for those guys to jump up onto from the ground floor to the mid-level or the high level, and they would hit the brick below them and take them out. Wait for the other douchebag to drop down, and then they take them out. So, you know, good for them. Me, I'm not willing to show off. Oh, man, the control. Well, the Nintendo controller is pretty nostalgic. It's pretty iconic, too, because if you hold it up and you show it to people, people are going to know exactly that's a Nintendo controller because it's the D-pad or the directional pad. Select, start, B and A. And actually, it has Nintendo written on the upper right corner in red letters. So that is a very iconic controller. Now, holding the thing now, I completely forgot how small it was, how uncomfortable it was. And just, yeah, it was not enjoyable to play on that thing compared to modern controls, which I know is unfair, because back then, they didn't think about, oh, let's make the controller comfortable and, you know, comfortable in people's hands. No, they just designed a controller to play on their game, to utilize it, so. But after I got used to the controls by, like I said, holding B and just running and jumping and all that stuff, I was able to continue looking at the screen and not have to look at the controller, which I know I did in the beginning. I'd look down, I'm like, wait, what does this button do? And then, of course, I'd die. But all I gotta say is that Nintendo made it easy. B is to run, A is to jump, and B is also to fire your fireball when you have firepower. Now, this is a pet peeve of mine. Okay, so when I play games, and I'm usually watching them when I play, like, my play style is always going to be different than someone else's because it's just how I play. Now, just thinking about it just makes me upset. So one thing to really annoy me, just anger me, is the fact that when people would play Mario and they do not hold run, they are literally just, Mario's just casually walking, and they come out to the first Goomba and they can't jump over it because Mario has no speed. He just literally jumps up and down. They jump up and down and then boom, they die right in front of him because they get hit. Or they do kill him, but they don't have enough speed or anything to get over the pipes. And so the one time where it's like, okay, they make it through that. They get to the first pit. And what do? They jump. They don't make it because they're not holding run. So I'm sitting there like, you got to run. And they're like, I can't do both buttons at the same time. I'm like, hold run for fuck's sake. Hold run. And they're like, I can't because I can't hold both buttons at the same time. And I'm just like, oh God, I can't do this. I can't watch. So I'm usually just over there just kind of like biting my teeth or just chugging a beer. Just thinking, good God, could you get over this already? And after like the fifth or sixth time and then dying, I'm like, just, can I do it for you? Yeah, here you go. And I do it and I give it back. So I'm like, God, here you go. Now let's keep moving. Oh God, it's just just annoys the hell out of me. Man, unless people do it on purpose just to watch me just fucking get triggered, that'll do it. All right, let's talk about the music, because the music to this game is literally iconic. Especially the intro. The main theme. That is a song that you could probably play anywhere. And people were able to come back and say, hey, that's the Mario theme song. I mean, especially how Mario's become such pop culture. There's no way that people do not know that song is Mario. And if they do, I feel sad for them. Because they should know that. I mean, Mario's everywhere now. But not only the main theme, but then you got the underground world, you got the water world, everything is just this very iconic music that has carried on through each game. So the Mario main theme has gone through every iteration, and it's a staple to the series. Like, you cannot have a Mario game without the Mario theme in it. I mean, hell, they threw it in the movie, and even threw other songs from the original game in the movie as Easter eggs. So hopefully you were able to pick those out. So what are my final thoughts on this game? Well, with it being an OG game, I think it's one of those games that you definitely need to play before you die. I'm not saying you have to beat it, but I think you should play it to see where everything kind of started from. The whole Mario series, the whole platforming. Platforming? Ugh, God, hang on. Got to take a sip. The whole platforming genre and everything, and just the whole warp pipe sound effects, the mushrooms and everything. This game is a classic and is definitely a game that should be played. And I actually still play it, and not the original Mario, but I play it on Mario Maker, because people actually create different Mario levels in the Super Mario Brothers universe, that 8-bit universe. And I swear to God, when I do an episode on that game, oh, dude, there's going to be some... There's going to definitely be a lot of triggers because, man, some of these people just... They just want to watch the world burn because they create these levels that are just filled with trolls. It pisses me off all the time. I'm just like, God, like, God, I get so fucking pissed. But if you're one of those people that says you've never played the original Super Mario Brothers, I could say you should not have an excuse now because that game has been put on almost every Nintendo system. Got it in the Super Nintendo. Wow, they did not bring it to 64. But they brought it to the Wii for Virtual Console. Wii U, Virtual Console. Switch Online. It's one of the basic games in Switch Online. And again, with Mario Maker. So, for you not to say I've never played the original Mario Brothers, I think that's something you should check out. Especially if you're a gamer and want to be able to experience something like that, go back. Pop in the original Mario and experience that kind of gameplay. See what it's like to see where games started back then to where they are now. I mean, like I said, I once in a while go back and play it just because I want the OG experience. Like, let's go back in time and play this game. All right, I think that's enough of my rambling for today. But let's talk about this beer. So, like I mentioned earlier, it's a good beer. I would highly recommend it. Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, if you've never had it. It's a very good basic pale ale, especially if you're trying to break into craft beer and want to try to experience the pale ales, and especially if you're trying to especially if you're trying to want to work into playing, try the IPAs or the juicy IPAs and stuff like that, this would be a good starting point, because once you get to enjoy this pale ale, then you can move up into the IPAs, which is definitely a lot more bitter than this guy. So there's also definitely another beer you should try. I'm not saying you have to love it, not saying you have to make it one of your best friends, but it's worth a try. I mean, especially if you can get it on tap, it's really good. I think that's all I have to say. I mean, being the first episode, you know, thank you for listening through this dumpster fire of a podcast, but please subscribe, like, tell your friends. If you'd like to reach out and, you know, tell me how I'm doing, tell me how much I suck, or how much this podcast just makes you want to cut your ears off and burn your tongue, you can always email me at 117gamesquadron@gmail.com and everything. I am trying to work on a Facebook page and all this other stuff, but haven't got around to it. Excuse me. So, until next time, be safe and continue your game. Cheers, everyone.